Ah, mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Dose of Leadership Podcast, episode 271.
Welcome to another episode of the Dose of Leadership Podcast, the show that brings you inspiring and educational interviews with today's most relevant and motivating leaders. Each episode is dedicated to highlight real-life leadership and influence experts who dedicate their lives to the pursuit of the truth, common sense, and courageous leadership. And now, here's your host, Richard Ryerson.
Hey, welcome to Dose of Leadership. Richard Ryerson here. Thank you for tuning into the show. Got Monique Tallon on the show today. Interesting conversation. She's a woman's leadership coach, conference speaker, and author. She's created what's called the Feminine Leadership Model. She's got a book out there called Leading Gracefully, which is a women's guide to confident, authentic, and effective leadership. However, if you're a man, this does not mean to tune out to the show because leadership is for everyone. Her firsthand experience working in the male-dominated corporate world of Silicon Valley, she learned at a young age that in business, what works for men doesn't necessarily work for women. She discovered that there's a different way to lead that felt more authentic to who she was. And not surprisingly, in her experience, it turned out to be more effective and impactful. And we talk about that. And I think as men, and I know from my corporate experience, I'm an introverted leader. My personality style, I'm more empathetic. I'm a listener. I'm a relator. And so I would have, according to Monique, more feminine leadership traits. But I am comfortable in my masculinity, and I can admit that. But I think it's a type of leadership that is very effective and very powerful. There's all kinds of ways to lead. There's all kinds of ways to get things done. But we talk a lot about empathy and the emotional quotient, which I am a strong advocate for. And I think it's something that is often overlooked in leadership. Sometimes we focus too much on charisma, I think, or a larger-than-life personality, or the type A type style of leadership, which there are ways to do it. And if it's authentically you and it's good and it works, it can be an effective leadership style. However, I think it's important to listen to what Monique has to say because she is, I think, one of the top leading experts on knowing the differences on how men and women lead. I think it is different, and I've seen that firsthand in my corporate experience as well. It's a fun conversation. I hope you enjoy it. You can find out more about Monique at MoniqueTallon.com. You can find the links on the post at DoseOfLeadership.com. And if you're finding some value in the show, please take the time to subscribe, rate, and review. Thank you for all of the subscribers who've left reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. And if you're so inclined, please download this show to your smart device and leave a rating and review. It means so much to the visibility of the show. You can find out more about my coaching and speaking programs at richardryerson.com or joining my masterminds. I'm always holding masterminds. So if you want to become a part of one, you can learn more at richardryerson.com. And reach out to me. Let me know where you're at in your leadership journey. richard@doseofleadership.com is a good way to start, or you can the contact page at doseofleadership.com or richardryerson.com. And again, thank you for the support of the show. And without further ado, here's Monique Tallon, feminine leadership expert, speaker, and author on Dose of Leadership. Well, Monique, I'm so happy to have you on the show. Welcome to Dose of Leadership.
Thank you, Richard. Thanks for having me.
You know, I'm excited to have you on the show because as a father of four daughters and people that listen to the show have heard me talk about it from time to time, and I've had women leaders on here. I love talking about this because in my professional career, some of the best leaders I've worked for have been women, and some of the worst leaders I've worked for have been women. Does that surprise you, or does that resonate with you when I say that?
It sure does. I would say I would agree with that statement, and many people would agree with that statement too.
You know, a lot of times we don't like to talk about it because you can appear, especially as a man, we say, well, we don't want to appear as sexist. But it's almost that kind of that weirdness right there, I think, is what prohibits us from being the truly authentic leaders that we're kind of called to be. I think if we could just forget about trying to be something that we're not and just kind of tap into our natural gender strengths, I think we're on a path to leadership. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree. And I think that both men and women struggle with that, but particularly women, because we do still operate in a man's world, let's face it.
Right.
Right. And so we've had the particular challenge to have to compete in the man's world, adopt to a man's world to get ahead. And so what's happened is that over time, women have lost their authenticity to some degree by taking on more masculine traits, trying to keep up with men, trying to, be successful, doing it the way men do it. And I think that's gotten us to a certain point, right? We've shattered glass ceilings. We've now can be taken seriously in terms of, many different types of careers and leadership positions, yet we still see a pretty big gap, especially at the top. So
yeah,
we still have a way to go.
You know, I'm curious to think, what do you think are the traits? I mean, it is what it is. If you think from natural history and genetics, what do women do better than men? And again, I mean, it's not better and better. If you had to think, what are the strengths, the natural strengths that women have that give them and that men maybe don't do so well?
Well, you know what's interesting? Now that we have so much neuroscience research that we didn't have before, what we're seeing is that men and women's brains are wired very differently.
Right.
So there was a recent study done at the University of Pennsylvania where they looked at 100 different brains, men and women, and they started noticing differences in terms of how they were wired. So it turns out that men are wired for single tasks and multi-motor skills. So things throwing a ball or, you know, nailing in a hammer. Men are really good at those kinds of things. Women, on the other hand, are great at multitasking. Surprise, surprise.
Right.
And they're also wired for empathy and perceptive intuitive thinking. So when you look at that and kind of compare that to gender stereotypes, they actually kind of fit the mold. And so what they're finding is that men and women have unique strengths to the gender, but they're actually very complementary. So you kind of need one. You know, you can't have one without the other.
Right.
So, and what's really unique about this is that the traits that women are kind of wired for, going back to, you know, the empathic thinking and feeling, you know, the emotional intelligence piece, let's say, and being perceptive and intuitive, all of those things are qualities that people are looking for in their leaders in the 21st century.
Yeah.
So it's actually interesting because there's been a lot of research that's done in terms of what people are looking for in their leaders today. And same things show up: vulnerability, authenticity, empathy, listening, compassion, all these traits that we can sort of characterize as feminine are what people are looking for in, you know, their leaders today. So, it's an interesting place because now we have all this data that shows us that women are poised to be great leaders, yet we're still not getting to that place. And I think it's because those values and those traits haven't been sort of given enough credit in the past.
I agree with you. And I think, it's interesting. I'm trying to figure out, you know, the chicken or the egg type thing. Is historically, is that what, you know, organizations have kind of migrated to? Because I've always been or naturally gravitated towards those type of leadership characteristics. I certainly talk about it on this show, and I have for 3 years. Those are the characteristics that are so much needed.
They are.
I'm wondering, though, I don't know, probably not, because if you look at – I think that that isn't necessarily a new thing. I think that's just the natural way – do you see what I'm saying? It's not to me, it's not a cultural thing. I think it's always something that's naturally, that's the natural way to lead, is what I'm trying to say. And I think culturally we've been kind of sidetracked or hijacked since the Industrial Revolution. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. It just seems like love has always been at the center of leadership. I mean, since the dawn of man. And it seems like we've got somewhere along the way, we got sidetracked thinking, you know, it was all about autocratic, authoritarian rule. And I don't think it was always necessarily that way throughout history. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, if we look at the last 100 years, you mentioned the Industrial Revolution, you know, we went from an agrarian, you know, right. agricultural society mm-hmm. to an industrial society with, you know, basically a factory type of model.
Sure.
And in order to maximize efficiency and output, you needed to have a very hierarchical, mm-hmm. autocratic, directive type of system in place to get that kind of, you know, mass output that we saw in out of factories and out of the Industrial Revolution. And so I think what happened was the leadership style adapted to fit the needs of
right.
the society of at that time. Since then, we've shifted into the information age, mm-hmm. the technology age, where knowledge and creativity and innovation are the new products, right? And so there's a whole completely different set of rules now in order to be able to get that kind of output. So we've been kind of going through that transition now, I think, for the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, maybe 20 years.
Yeah.
Where we're stepping out of that old story, which is this industrial age, into the more, you know, the new story, which is the information age. And so there's a whole new set of criteria needed in order to work together collaboratively and really get those great ideas, innovation going in these companies. And so you're going to need a whole different leadership style. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. But would you agree with me that I love what you said and it sums it up nicely, but wouldn't you agree with me that it gets back more to naturally who we are as human beings, as specimens, right? Would you agree
yes.
with that? That yeah, it's almost like
I definitely do.
It's,
yeah.
It's the same with like entrepreneurship and leadership and all of it. It's like we had to be, even as cavemen, naturally, like entrepreneurship is almost like a natural thing as human beings. And we kind of got sidelined and sidetracked because of this Industrial Revolution, which produced, like you said, some great things. But I think that the natural way to lead, because you could just look at the literature throughout history. I mean, look at the Bible, just the common sense, natural, authentic ways to lead, kind of tap into what you're talking about, particularly on the feminine side. There's so much strength in that. And I try to tell my daughters that is don't buy into the kind of the old stereotypes. Embrace that emotional quotient, that empathy, that compassion, because that is, there's so much strength in that. That's what gets me excited.
You know, and that's great advice, especially coming from a dad to his younger daughters. I mean, it's such a great piece of advice to give. And, you know, I think that's what we need to see out there more and more. And I was just watching a speech that Michelle Obama gave recently during a graduation ceremony. And, you know, what struck me about her speech was that she was saying how, you know, she was scrutinized from the get-go when she became first lady. People were expecting her to be this way and that way. You know, was she going to be assertive and bossy or outgoing? Or was she going to be, you know, more kind of a backseat kind of person, you know, first lady, you know? And she said that there were all these stereotypes and biases that were being thrown at her and people speculating as to what kind of woman she was and what kind of first lady she was going to be. And she decided that if she bought into that, you know, kind of all that noise, she was just going to set herself up for failure. And so she said, I decided to block all of that out. And just be true to who I am, mm-hmm. be true to myself and just trust in that. Trust
yeah.
that my authentic self was going to be good, just fine, just good enough. And she, that's what she did. And I think that's the best advice that we can give women. It's like, and to younger girls, you know, there's so many gender stereotypes that we deal with, that we struggle with. I actually refer to that as the tightrope that we walk as, especially as women leaders, because we're always being told like, be more assertive, be more aggressive, be more bossy,
right.
be more confident, be more leader-like, you know, but then when you try that, they tell you that you're too bitchy or too aggressive and, right. and, you know, all those kinds of things. So you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Right.
So it's like, why don't you just try being yourself?
Right. Drive in your lane and focus on your strengths. You're right. And that's when I go back to that example of the best, some of the best leaders I've worked for, the women leaders, they did just that. They weren't trying to be, you know, oh, this is a man's world, you know, constantly reminding you that it's a man's world and that we, you better respect me or else, you know what I mean? It was, mm-hmm. it was just, they were just their authentic self, and gender became a non-issue.
Yeah. And that's what I talk a lot about too, is, you know, when women own their power, mm-hmm. they let go of this need to prove
exactly.
themselves
yes.
or prove their worth. Yet so many women don't own their power.
Yes.
And so what ends up happening is we fall into this victim mode, and we fall, you know, we think that we're victims of everything that's going around us and all those stereotypes and biases and, you know, all these things that are, you know, working against us. And we tend to point the finger at men a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. But I think what can happen is if we just own our gifts and our strengths and own our incredible power, all of that just falls away, and
yeah.
you don't need to, you know, prove yourself, and you just go in there, you do a great job, you speak up, you make an impact, and people respect you for that.
Yes.
But a lot of women struggle with that one.
And I, and as a man observing four daughters and my wife, and that's when I start hearing somebody, and I've seen my daughters, particularly when they're in the teenage years, and it's almost like everything's a cause and a victim. You know what I mean? It's like everything is a political cause or something. And I try to tell them, don't discount the power that you have. You have tremendous power. And I think a lot of times more power than I think, you know, much more powerful than in a lot of ways than men. And men respect that power. And it's not, again, I can't even articulate it, but it's just tapping into that authenticity, I think, and embracing those feminine traits. And people don't like to say that because it sounds sexist, and I don't mean that in any sexist way. And just as I observe when I've seen my wife who's been confident, and I've seen even in crisis situations within the household and the family, right? Yeah, I'm the provider and I'm the calm and confident one, but I've seen my wife be extremely assertive and confident. And she wouldn't say that she was, but I've seen it. Does that make sense? Particularly when it comes to the kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, and particularly when they were young, and just the intuitiveness and when they tap into that zone, into that confidence and that assuredness, it's something that men can't do. And as a man, it's something to be revered. Does that make sense? I mean, I've seen it. And when I see in that same type of feminine intuition can translate into the business world too. It doesn't have to be just the motherly stuff, you know?
That's right. That's right. Well, I love that you see that and you honor that in your wife and in women. And I think a lot of men do, you know, when a woman is truly confident and owns her power and steps it into her power fully, I think men, you know, kind of sigh, sort of breathe a sigh of
yes,
relief.
They,
you know,
they love that. Yeah.
It's not all on their shoulders.
Right.
And they're given space to work collaboratively together, you know, and then the opposite is true. When women try to be like men and try to assert their power in sort of an inauthentic way, it backfires.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know. I would love to hear your opinion on this, but I think a lot of men are either threatened by that or put off by that. What would you say about that?
I've never been threatened by it, but I have been put off by it because it's just like it creates a level of distrust. And I can think of some examples of particularly one woman leader that I worked with who always felt like she had to prove something. And it didn't take much to realize that she had some insecurities and a chip on her shoulder. And it was just, to me, it was just such wasted energy. I wasn't threatened by it, but I was put off by it. And it made for difficult conversations because you didn't know where you stood. You're afraid to say the wrong thing. And it just created this whole weirdness that didn't need to be there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And then it's like, well, no wonder we're not making it into those leadership positions, because men don't want to work with that, and neither do women.
Yeah.
You know, there was a recent Gallup survey that was done where they asked women if they would prefer to have a female boss or a male boss. And there was an overwhelming majority, I think it was like 47% of women said they would prefer to work for a man versus a woman. And that's such a shame, because that's such a missed opportunity, right? I mean, it's like, if women don't even want to work with each other, then why would men want to work with them? And so I think that's where, you know, I talk about in my book, Leading Gracefully, where women can be so much more effective if they took that leap of faith to just be themselves.
Yes.
And own their power and be confident and not worry about proving themselves. And just, you know, if you don't know the answer, say, I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think we should do? And when you do that, you invite the other person or the other people on your team to step in and contribute.
Yeah.
And that's where all the great ideas come from. It's not just one person who has to come up with all the great ideas and save the day. You know, more and more we're finding that the better ideas come when people work collaboratively together.
Absolutely.
And so I think there's just so much that come out of that.
Yeah. And I would say too that, and I've certainly experienced this in my professional life too, as a man who embraces more from a leadership style perspective, I would say that I am definitely not a type A leader. I can be if I need to be, but that's not my comfort zone. My comfort zone is the listener, the relator, the empathy, the emotional intelligence. So it is a more feminine side of leadership, I guess, that I gravitate towards. And I've seen, even in feedback from bosses who were the opposite, right? Who were the type A, the more, the stereotypical, what you would think would be in a leadership role. And I butted heads with them because they disagreed with my style. They thought, in fact, I remember in one performance review, I was handed an article from Harvard Business Review, you know, that it was arguing that people prefer working for jerk bosses. And I was told in no uncertain terms, I had to be more of a jerk. And I'm like, I disagree, you know, but, and so it's out there. And I would even say, and I can, from a man, I see some of the bias sometimes when I try to embrace those more feminine side of leadership roles.
Sure.
It was harder for me to get ahead. So I can imagine as a woman, it's even harder. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, right now we're in a very interesting place as well, because I think we're shifting from this idea that extroverts and this type A leadership style is the better leadership style. We see it all the time in companies,
sure,
right? I mean,
sure.
The type A's are the ones who are valued and seen as leaders and promoted. And that's why you have such a predominance of white males at
right.
the top of leadership positions. There's not a lot of room for a different style or, you know, a more feminine style. And so we need to have these exact conversations with one another to talk about the value of bringing in the feminine and really talk about what else is possible when we do that. And again, more and more people are looking for these qualities in their leaders. So I think we're going to get there eventually, but not without a lot of kind of, you know,
yeah,
conversation and dialogue about the importance and the significance of it. But I absolutely commend men who dare to take on those qualities, because it's so necessary. And, you know, feminine doesn't mean meek or weak
or
female. Feminine means, you know, those other qualities like vulnerability and humility, right? Just being humble and leaving your ego at the door can do wonders for working with others and getting the best out of your team. So these qualities are, you know, it's not rocket science, but we tend to, disregard the importance of them because we're so used to this type A leader and we don't think about, well, maybe there's a different approach that we could take.
I think the ultimate goal, and this is for everybody, men and women, but particularly if women would understand this, embrace this, but this goes for everybody. But if you have that, and this is why I think women are at a better advantage because they are naturally more inclined, as you point out, to the empathy, to the compassion, the emotional quotient, all that stuff. If they embrace that humility, that that humbleness with an intensity of will. And so the competitive side, and I don't mean the type A, the competitive, I'm going to crush you, but it's almost the internal competition of always trying to be the best and always trying to add value, trying to be a servant, always trying to be sacrificial. Have that intensity of will, the intensity that embraces a bigger why, a bigger vision, you know, what's best for the company, what's best for the organization, what's best for my family. That intensity of will coupled with that humility, you are unstoppable as a leader. I truly believe that. And I think that is the type of leadership that people are hungry for and need so desperately.
I totally agree with you. I mean, you could have written my book for me because you totally get this stuff. And that's exactly why I came up with the feminine leadership model. And vision is one of the first qualities on the model because you can't have leadership without a great vision. But then it requires so much else. So things like being vulnerable and empathic and intuitive and collaborative and humble, right? So it's sort of a combination. And when you combine all of those things with that strong will, with being fully centered and aware, anything is possible, whether you're a man or a woman. Mm-hmm. And yet these things aren't really taught. And for a long time, they haven't been embodied. So we haven't had a lot of great role models who show up this way. But I can think of a lot of men who show up this way. I mean, look at our president. Oh, I would say President Obama, you know, is a great example of a balanced leader who's got tons of feminine, but also tons of masculine. And you just see it in the way he holds himself, carries himself, the way he speaks, the way he thinks. It's very balanced. I think there's a lot that we can learn.
Yeah. And there's a lot of examples all throughout history. I mean, even if you look at a lot of times people think, well, sports in that way, there's tons of coaches. Like John Wooden to me is a perfect example of that. If you look at how he did in the 60s and the way that he coached, extremely humble, but extremely intense on the other side, right? Not ranting and raving, but extremely competitive. But competitive for what? Not because of ego or insecurity, but just competitive to always strive towards perfection, knowing that you can't reach it, but you will find excellence along the way, right? Mm. And so I think that's where the that's where the intensity has to come. When in fact, one of my mastermind students she just asked me a question today, and she says I struggle with this idea of, she put hashtag winning mentality with being a servant leader. And I'm saying, no, they can work together. I mean, in fact, I think they're needed. And I think if you have that intensity somehow, your intensity needs to be focused less on getting ahead and more about kind of defeating the dragons that are in your head every day, you know, which we all have, to becoming better leaders. And what I've really come to learn over the last, particularly 5 years, is that when that intensity of will is so inner focused, and I think what she said in her question was she was worried that that inner focus was self-centered, but it's not self-centeredness in the sense of I'm trying to get ahead. I'm trying to be the best man, woman that I can possibly be and add value to the world. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So it's all about your intention, right?
Yeah,
are you trying to impact? And so you can be competitive and go for the win because of your ego telling you that you want to be the best and you want to get the spotlight and you need to win for that reason. That's a completely different, you know, intention and impact versus going in and saying, I want to win because I want to make the world a better place, or I want to make this company a better place, or I want my team to thrive. Right?
Yeah, right.
And so it's if you think about it that way, then the ego has nothing to do with it.
Right. Exactly.
The
right.
The ego is actually in the way.
It's right. And the beautiful thing is when you work on yourself and you do that, it's like the people that are around you, you give them permission to do the same. Just by doing that through your example, you give them permission to do the same. So it's almost like you're being influential without even knowing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And it's the same thing with authenticity. You know, when you are, when you dare to be yourself, when you dare to be vulnerable, when you dare to be authentic, it gives permission to be that way.
Right.
And it creates automatic trust. So for example, I talk about this in my book. I was tasked with running a very big conference, a 10,000 person conference, and it was my first leadership role. And I had never done anything to that scale before. I had done smaller events, but nothing to that scale. And this was a company-wide, very customer-facing conference. So there's a high stakes. All the top executives were involved, and it was my job to make this happen. And I was faced with this question of how do I show up as a leader? You know, and my previous boss, who happened to be a woman, was a very top-down, command and control, traditional type of a female leader. And she had, you know, she had managed that event for 10 years and knew it like the back of her hand and was a micromanager, you can say. And when I looked at that, I said, there's no way that I can do this. That's not who I am. It's not authentic. It doesn't resonate with me. So I'm going to try a different approach. And so I decided to try to be more collaborative if I could. So I walked in on the first day of my task force meeting with 20 executives staring at me. And I said, listen, guys, I have this vision to produce the best conference this company has ever produced. I want it to be top notch. I want our people to feel so cared for and taken care of and have the best fun they can. And I need you guys to help me do this. But here's the thing. I've never done anything like this before.
Awesome.
I actually don't know where to even start. And I need your help. Can you guys step up and help me? And, you know, in that moment, you know, very vulnerable.
All right.
Two things could have happened. They could have just looked at me and said, you know what? You're fired. You're out of here. You don't know what you're doing. But they didn't. They actually stepped up to the plate and gave it their 110% throughout the entire planning process. And in that moment of vulnerability, what I did was I created automatic trust with my team. Mm-hmm. Because I admitted that I was a human being and I needed their help. And you know what? We've all been there, right? Mm-hmm. And so that trust that was created was so valuable. It was the single most important thing that I could have done. And we pulled off the best event that our company had ever done. So that was the first experience of working with these feminine qualities. And by the end of it, I was absolutely convinced that this was the way to go.
I believe
for both men and women.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that I can see why it went well. I mean, that's exactly how I would have handled it too. And I've had similar situations where I walked in and been given advice, like, don't let them see you sweat. You can't show any weaknesses. You better be prepared. You know, and I'm like, it's the combination of, like, you started the conversation with a level of confidence and a vision, like you said, of like, man, I know this can be the most kick butt conference that we've ever had. I just got this idea. I know it can happen, but I don't know where to start. You know, it's that combination, you know, and someone that comes in there and tries to fake all that and say, okay, we need to do this and blah, blah, you know,
Oh my God. I was just going to set myself up for failure.
Exactly.
Because how about if I, you know, said the wrong things that we needed to do. And then it was just, you know, got us nowhere, right? So it could have been a disaster if I went in there pretending I knew all the answers.
Yeah.
But I think especially women, because we have this thing of like needing to prove our value,
right?
That's a really difficult thing for a lot of women to do. But also I can see that being difficult for men because, you know, they have those same pressures. But we tend to tie in our self-worth a lot with our performance and how well we do in our careers.
Yeah.
And there's a definite confidence gap between men and women. Yeah. Don't forget. So that also comes into play.
Well, you hit it right on the head. I mean, that's the big danger right there is like, but putting our self-worth on our performance and what other people think of us is the big downfall or the big, you know, that can lead you nowhere except to constantly seeking approval. You know, you become an approval addict or are constantly proving yourself, chip on your shoulder, all that stuff. And if you step into leader mode, like what you did, which is painting is like, guys, this is how it can be. Can't you see? And you're willing to you're willing to be the one that's going to accept the accountability of this, you know, this train wreck or success, whatever it's going to be, you know. And if you're willing to sit in that chair and say, I'm willing to, if it flops, it's all my fault. I get it. But I can see this thing. This is how it can be. And you're excited, you know, that's the combination that I'm talking. That's the intensity of will coupled with that humility that.
And people will follow.
Absolutely. People, because you seem like a human being. That's exactly right. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
So it does take a lot of courage. And I think for women, you know, their particular challenge is really believing in themselves and believing in their abilities. You know, there's a lot of research that shows that there's a really big percentage of women who, you know, don't think they're beautiful. I think only 2% of women think they're beautiful.
Wow.
You know, and it's just the stats are so impressive and sad when you think about, you know, how quickly women's confidence goes down relative to men. I think it's around age 8 or 11 where women's confidence goes down significantly, whereas men's or boys' confidence goes upwards.
Yeah.
And so we're facing all those challenges on top of it. And so it's so important that women deal with their saboteurs and inner critic. And I've got a ton of great exercises in my book that help women deal with that, because that's such a missing piece in being able to own our power and really, you know, give it that intensity of will and all those things that we talked about.
Well, I love that. And I love the idea that you're niching down to women, but I would bet that as a man, if I read Leading Gracefully, it would give me a pretty good roadmap even as a man. And I think men should probably read it just, you know, I think there's some value in there.
Absolutely. I think it absolutely would. You know, this model that I've created is, I call it the feminine leadership model, but it's gender neutral. Both men and women can benefit from it. These are inclusive leadership traits. They're gender neutral and they are what people are looking for. And I think we just need to create more dialogue and discussion around it and play with these different qualities, you know, experiment and see for yourself.
Yeah.
The proof is in the pudding, they say. So, you know, there's no harm in just trying these things out and seeing what happens and looking at the impact and learning from that. So I encourage both men and women to do that for sure.
Well, I absolutely love this conversation. I'm looking at the clock and unfortunately you've got a hard a time that you've got to get to a client, as since you are a coach and someone that helps people in this arena. How can people find more about you, can connect with you, learn more about the book and et cetera?
Sure. So they can go to my website, which is MoniqueTallon.com. And if they want to check out my book, Leading Gracefully, it's available on Amazon. And, you know, I'm sure we'll link up on our social media. So we'll stay connected that way. And I would love to have this conversation with others who are really looking to step more fully into their leadership. So thanks again for this opportunity, Richard. It was great talking to you.
I love this. I love this conversation. I love what you're doing. I definitely proud to have you in the Dose of Leadership tribe. I would love to have more conversations with you because there's so much more I'd like to learn more about you. Didn't even really get into you and your background, my apologies, and who your heroes are and whose shoulders you're standing on and all that thing that I usually ask. But I encourage everybody to go check out your website and learn more about you and check out the book, Leading Gracefully, which is a guide to confident, authentic, and effective leadership, particularly for women. But I'm going to say men should read it too. I know I'm going to read it. I'm excited to read it. Well, Monique, thanks for coming on the show, and we'll continue this conversation again.
I would love that, Richard. Thanks so much.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for tuning into the show. Hope you're finding some great value in Dose of Leadership. Hey, go check out my website, doseofleadership.com. Get your free access to some videos or to my free ebook. Also, check out richardryerson.com if you're interested in one-on-one coaching, group coaching, seminars, or you're needing somebody to speak at your next event. I'm always available. Check out more at richardryerson.com. Let me know where you're at in your leadership journey. I'd love to hear from you. richard@doseofleadership.com. It's a great way to get in touch with me. Find me on my Facebook page, LinkedIn, Twitter. Get in touch with me. We'll make it a great one. Ah.
Mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.